Yeah. You're not giving Celtics any credit right now. You're not giving Boston any credit for turning it up in the third quarter.
What are you doing right now, Kyle? The Celtics clearly played better on the defensive end. Guess what? Right. Everybody turns it up on the defensive end. But you don't get scores like 8 points in the third quarter. Watch the playoffs. You see a lot of tough shots. I saw good defense by the Celtics. I'm not sitting here discrediting their defense, Kyle. I'm saying Indiana, even open shots, or where do they go where they make
open shots they were missing? I'm at.
Yes.
Did they get some looks?
Yes.
In the third?
Okay.
I love this. Green Team on Green Team Crime. There's nothing better than this. And Scally is 100% correct. If anybody thinks you're going to learn anything about the Celtics with this Indiana series, you're wasting your time. You're going to find out what they're about when they take on Milwaukee in the second round. Then we can sit and we can have the conversation and we can start talking about whether they figured it out, whether they flipped the switch. No switch has been flipped here. None.
No, I think that if they do as you guys expect, you know, if they sweep them in four and five, then, you know, there's going to be some moments we're going to feel a lot better about this team, especially out in Indiana, going on the road and winning. You look at individual performances. But, you know, don't we do this every year in the NBA? Like, you know, you win the first two games and say it's going to be a sweep, and then you lose the next two on the road? So I'm not going to get caught up in it. I agree with Scal. They obviously ramped it up defensively in that third quarter, but who does Indiana turn to when they need a bucket?
They don't have
Bogdanovich. You know what I mean? Like, who? So
he's hurt.
They were missing open shots. Like Collison, he couldn't hit anything either. I mean,
he's still hurt.
They just don't have anybody to go to. They missed a lot of open shots. Did they play better defense? Sure.
Well, that's why if they end up going seven in the series or even six, Lou, and you said seven, then I would really be concerned about the Celtics.
Well, if they shoot 22% from three, it won't.
To me, that is, I mean, I guess it could happen, obviously, but for that to happen, you're talking about an utter and complete just disaster.
You got to
break. After what you just saw, if because it went six, wouldn't you feel the same way?
Because they complete. Why just
you lose two games?
The fact is that Indiana is so bad that this is one of your typical Celtics. Okay, let's just play down to our competition. Let's not be inspired because they suck. They had one of the worst first halves they've had in a long time.
I don't understand
and they were
that.
Still able to literally flip the switch and come back and win the game.
So let me ask you this. Do you think they would have been able to do that, play in that first half and still win that game against a Milwaukee or a Toronto?
No, Milwaukee's
How about an Orlando? How about a Brooklyn?
Hold on.
Would not.
Let's you mentioned Toronto. How about the unbelievable, terrible first-round franchise history that exists with the Toronto Raptors?
Can't win that first
Five
game.
Of the last 6 years, they've in their first game, they've lost.
Can't win that first
what
game.
What is wrong with them?
They do it every year.
They choke.
They didn't score in a game.
I don't know what it is. It's just weird. I mean, they'll win the series, but it's weird.
No, but to your point, Glenn, you score 38 points in the first half. You go 4-for-17 from three. You shoot 32%. 38 points, you're down 20 points.
Yes.
At halftime. Yes. Maybe more.
Right.
25. And there's no coming back, as we know. In the playoffs, once you're down that type of number, you usually just quit and just say, we'll see you in the next game. Tonight's not our night.
So what is it about Celtics fans and even the people on the broadcast? And Kyle Draper's sitting there going, he was impressed with what he saw defensively in the third quarter. Yeah, wait a minute, Kyle. Why didn't they do it in the first quarter?
I'm talking about the X factor.
How about the second?
Oh, the second quarter. The third quarter, they came to life finally. And you're sitting there going, why did it take you so long? This is a team you should have.
Do you think?
Hold on one second, Christian. Milwaukee got rid of Detroit in the first 5 minutes of the game. That game was over.
Okay, first of all, I don't think
they were up by 20.
Hold on, I don't think you can even compare the two. All right, we got a winner. Okay, we got a winner. Not a winner.
We didn't win the marathon.
He didn't win. Everybody's a winner.
They
won something.
That's not a Kenyan.
Can you touch that space blanket?
I'm not touching them.
What's
this space blanket wrapped around a woman? I'm gonna touch it.
I just want to know what it feels like.
Well, all right. I don't know. We were gonna ask.
Is that a Me Too?
Me Too. That's a Me Too. You can't do that.
We'll ask later.
No.
How about this?
You can't do that.
Do you think that – so Kyrie wasn't there last year during the playoffs.
Hayward
was not there. Do you think those guys were tight? You think those guys had a little case of the jitters?
I just don't think they're that good right now.
I don't think they are either.
They play in sync that well. And the Marcus Smart injury is going to – you'll feel it. Trust
What's
me,
wrong with Jaylen Brown?
Round, you'll feel
just
it.
Because Jaylen Brown is replacing Marcus Smart, does he have to act like an ass just like Marcus Smart does?
Yeah.
The whole push on Bogdanovich, was that who it was? What are we doing?
To take that role on.
So you have to. Is that what you're doing? Because that's something Marcus Smart would do.
What are you doing? That's my job. My job. I'm the big guy. Yeah. My job.
Who else to make those plays besides?
Can Aaron Bates stop getting hurt, by the way?
All right, let's take some phone calls. People want to talk about some of this stuff. Let's go to Ryan and Weymouth. Hey, Ryan.
They got to play Aaron Baines more.
Hello, Ryan.
Hey, hi, guys. Hey, thanks for the call. Great show. Glenn, I do agree with you about the Celtics. I know it's just one game, but the way they're playing, forget about it. The second round and they're done. What it is like you guys, I think it was Christian was just saying, though, if they look like they're lacking some sort of team cohesion. I mean, it's been bad shooting, bad shot selection. I just think a couple of guys, you're saying Jaylen Brown, I mean, he's a good defender. He needs to be a consistent scorer going ahead.
Yeah.
Gordon Hayward, he has to play better. He's erratic. He's getting paid huge money. I know he's coming off the injury, but as we said, we will see. He needs to play better. And the guy I like is Terry Rozier. I think he needs more time. I think he might help them win a game or two, my opinion. If I'm wrong, I'll admit it. Thank you.
All right.
Well, maybe to win a game or two late, but, I mean, the minutes, I think they're going to be exactly where he was in this game here. I tell you the difference. We remember talking before the playoffs started off, and I remember Drapes dropping the whole, like, you know, X factor of Al Horford's an X factor. It's like, come on, dude. He's gonna be himself. You know what you're going to get from Al. The guy that I was talking about was Marcus Morris. Because you know Marcus Morris is going to shoot.
How about playoff Mook?
He showed up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know he's going to shoot. He's going to take 10 to 12 shots a game. So which one is it? Is it going to be 2 for 12 Marcus Morris, or is it going to be a guy that can actually make a shot? Because towards that second half of the year, we were wondering, why is this guy still in the starting lineup? You know, and now that he comes off, you know, he comes off the bench and he ignites them. He scored in that first quarter, and he was a difference maker.
Let's go to Paul in Westfield. Hi, Paul.
Well, Antichrist Christian, get off my lawn, Lou, and Glenn, the Grinch, the three goons in tune. I miss you. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing great, Paul. Missed you.
What's up?
I love the take on Baltimore. It's true that it's a toss-away team that's thrown it in the tank, and we got them yesterday, and they got us good today with a pitcher that, I don't know, I never even heard of them. However, I must say in fairness that Seattle and Oakland at home, come on, and Arizona, we played there twice in a decade. You know, and clearly you bring up the accurate point. They can't pitch past five innings. The good news, the new guys in the starting are doing a lot better. We got Jackie Bradley in the wall climbing and Mookie with the really good defense. Can we give
really?
A run?
So you're feeling good about this, Paul, right?
No, I'm horrified trying not to puke from Palmer or Pittsburgh.
I was hoping to do some sarcasm there.
Yeah, I hope so. You know why you can't appreciate this win?
Why?
Well, I wasn't really asking you, but I didn't know you were still on the line. But you can answer also.
Paul.
You know what?
Thanks, Paul.
You are so rude to the callers.
I'm not. What do you mean I'm rude to
you?
I didn't know.
Why. I was looking at you, asking you.
Do you know what John Ryder would have done for a couple of these callers yesterday in his 3
sorry,
hours?
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm being a jerk.
You died for one of these
guys. Out the door. You know why you cannot appreciate this win? Anybody? Anyone? I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because you know it isn't good enough.
Not good.
You know that this is just all you're doing is just waiting for the inevitable. It's on its way, and you can sit there and you can high five and sleepwalk your way through a win against the Indiana Pacers. But that's it.
Good thing you know.
It's not good enough.
You're measuring up to what you're going to need. You know, further down the road against maybe a good team, not a team that's sort of floundering down the stretch. But again, they score 72-4 points. That should have been like what you were talking about with Milwaukee, right? Yep. What they did to Detroit. That should have been 115-74, right? Then you would have sat there and said, this guy looked good. This guy looked good. Defensively, they gave up 74 points. But I just don't think you can feel that way after that. It was a W. You should have beat them. That's it.
This argument
doesn't make you feel great about it.
So there's no Blake Griffin in the Detroit game, but it doesn't make a difference. To me, what Milwaukee did is said, I don't care if there's no Blake Griffin, because one guy's going to come up and have a big game. Somebody on Detroit is going to sit there and say, my chance, I'm going to have an opportunity. Because that happens when a guy misses a game. And what did they do? They just blew the doors off of Detroit right out of the get-go. Gave no opportunity to even stay in the game. And then got to play their bench and only had to go with Giannis. Only played 23 minutes in the game. Had 24 points in 23
didn't
minutes.
Didn't need
something
him.
Like that.
Yeah, why?
He didn't need any
Take
of that.
Take a break.
Stuff. But I was saying this earlier to Christian off the air. We're still waiting on a ruling, are we not? We're still waiting for the ruling.
On what?
With the Bruins winning the Cadre ruling. We still do not have anything.
The death sentence. I heard he was, they're going to.
I think he's going to get a lot. I mean, this is his fifth time that he's done that.
Good news for you this morning.
Came at a player and got him on the head. But I was saying this to Kirsten, because we were arguing this point last week about how good the playoffs are in the NHL, the Stanley Cup playoffs. And they're so different than the regular season games. Unfortunately, that's why the NHL needs fighting. Sorry, Kevin, Paul DuPont. They need fighting during the regular season because, to me, the games aren't entertaining enough. But you talk about a playoff game. I was glued last night, mesmerized by Columbus and Tampa Bay last night. It was unbelievable.
You've got to stop.
Game was unbelievable.
You're really going to say mesmerized? You are mesmerized.
I think that's an exaggeration.
Coming from this guy, I'm not surprised. Mesmerized.
I would say there was something.
I couldn't turn it off. For what?
Stop.
Come on.
It
was that good. Because you were afraid you were going to miss something.
Well,
it was 2-0, and then it was 2-1.
First round.
And there's so much at stake.
Game two.
There's so much to say.
Yeah, it's just you follow it and you sit there and say, are they really going to lose? Are they going to go down 3-0? Is Tampa going to get bounced? But I mean, I'm not. I don't know. Maybe
I think you're overdoing it. I think you're overselling it.
Was it watching
it?
That was a great game.
You're trying to push hockey on me.
I didn't cry.
Telling me
I didn't cry.
I didn't cry.
You
shed
like you and Tiger. I didn't cry.
I could just hear your kids, Daddy. We want to go play catch. It's all sunny and nice outside.
I am mesmerized by this hockey game.
No,
Columbus. And
by the way,
Tampa.
And by the way, Tampa didn't wake up until the third period. Third period, they were everything.
They're done.
And
listen, if any team come back down 3-0, they can. But Columbus is pretty good.
Do you know that? The presidential trophy winner, the team that has the best record in the league, has never gone down in the first round in four straight. It's never happened.
Well, I would believe
this
that.
Would be a first.
I mean, it should be the first.
So
best team in the NHL going down four times.
So if the Bruins can win their series, do they get a break? By not facing Tampa Bay, or are they now facing, as does happen in the NHL, the hottest team in the league?
Well, listen, Columbus.
And the hottest goaltender in the league, maybe.
They made a lot of moves at the deadline. They're screwed at the end of the year. I think they got 6 or 7 guys unrestricted, so they went for it. A lot of people surprised at the deadline. I thought they were going to jump in the standings.
Bradfo's finishing.
That didn't happen,
Lou.
But where's Bradford?
He's finishing right now. He's just passing the finish
Bradfo,
line.
Bradfo, where's the shadow?
It's coming up right now.
Hang on anything. Yeah. It's good.
Columbus is good though. Columbus is good. Not a cakewalk if the Bruins get past Toronto and beat them.
Is Bradfield getting one of those space blankets?
Yes, you should.
I'll steal his.
He's not coming behind us.
I just want to touch the blanket. I don't want to take it. I just want to feel it and see if it's does it feel spacey.
I got a clue for you. You want? We're going to take a break in a little bit.
Sure.
When we take the break, go over there. Do you see the trash barrel? That's what they do when they're done with their space blankets.
Wouldn't you hang it up or like put it in a
hang it up
frame
what?
It?
Christian Fourier, I think you did a great job talking about the Red Sox.
You get a medal. Why wouldn't you take the medal? You frame the medal.
The other thing? That the one thing you should do after running a marathon, no joke, beer. Drink a lot of beer.
Yes, drink a beer.
Right?
Yeah,
isn't that true?
Yeah,
based on the carbs and the barley, it helps you metabolize the sweat.
Sounds good. Just drink a beer.
No, that's true.
It is true.
So when are you going to start drinking?
At 5:50, I'm going to be pounding.
Not because you ran the marathon, because I saw you. Lou ran more than you did today.
You should do the show drunk.
Yeah. No.
Because you're going on vacation.
Yes,
so you're starting your drinking early.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so we have to get through the 5 o'clock hour. All right, we'll get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. That is our phone number. We do it live down here at the Lennox. Teddy's team is going to be showing up. We'll talk to him as well, but we get back to your calls coming up next.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Kind of embarrassing over here at the Lennox. These poor people have been running 26.2 miles. The weather conditions are changing. And the only thing Fourier can do as they finish to the finish line is, can I have your little foil rope?
Yeah, I want to bring that. I just want to feel what it's like to accomplish something so unreal.
Let me introduce you to one of the members of Teddy's team. This is Jim Kasparek. Nice to meet you, Jim. He's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Mm. Oh, Teddy's
and he's running for Teddy's team.
You a Steeler fan?
I am.
How's that working
still?
Out for you?
Yeah. Well, there's no bragging rights, so I teased Teddy the first time I met him. I said, I'm from Pittsburgh, born and raised a Steeler fan. And he said, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
As I said, that's true, right?
Hey, so, hey, you got something you can hold you real high right now. Most dysfunctional team in all professional sports.
Hopefully it changes.
You got
hopefully
that going. So, Jim, you lost your dad two stroke, and so you became a runner with Teddy's team here. You've been doing this for 5 years, and you've raised like 80 grand. So good for you. That's a great thing.
Thanks. And, you know, I've always followed football, so I followed when Teddy had his stroke. And so when my dad passed away, I wanted to continue doing something for my dad.
Yeah.
When I got hooked up with Teddy's team, I thought it was going to be sort of a one-year thing, and it just can't be. It's such a great time. It's such a great organization, and it really feels like a team. Like Teddy talks all the time, he wants it to be a team, and it really does. And so, just coming here and being with everybody is the best. So I don't see that ending. So
this is your fifth Boston Marathon?
It is.
You've run how many? 37?
37 today, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I'm pretty nuts.
Other than, you know, running for charity or Teddy's team, why do you like the pain? What is it about? I'm watching all these people run across the finish line, and they all look miserable. It's wet, or it's rainy. It's cold. Last year was miserable. Yet here we go! Yay! Tell me what makes you tick?
So here's what it is. It's the only time you get to clear your head and be by yourself. So that's for me. Like I think it's, you know, you get your hectic days and you do all these things, and so I've started. I never ran. I played sports, and you're always chasing a ball, catching a ball, whatever, right? And I hated running. And then I got sort of like I needed to do something, so I started to run, and I actually got addicted to it. Like everybody says, the runner's high, but it's a time to be
the endorphins.
Yeah, it's time to be by yourself. Actually, you know, most of the time, except here, because there's people everywhere. Yeah. So.
Okay. See, I tried to get away and do a little bit of running, but I only lasted like 10, 15 minutes.
I
went back to the family, and I was tired.
I was going to say, out of the three of us, I don't really know who I would pick to say, you know, who would be able to actually finish it. I don't think any of us
could. It wouldn't be me.
Well, I can tell you it wouldn't be me either.
Well, then it goes to Lulu. Would have the best shot.
I'm out. Tyler.
So here's the deal, though. So I think Teddy should raise the stakes with you guys then. One has to do it then.
It's not me. We'll never do it.
I already take bets I can win.
He already ridiculed us on Twitter last night with his stuff.
I saw that.
Can I ride a bike? I will do the bike portion of this. Can I just hop on a... I mean, why not? Why don't I just, you know...
I'll swim.
Is there a swimming portion of this?
There you go.
Yeah, out in the rain in the puddle. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
And it's great what you do for Teddy's team.
I'll be back.
Were you with Teddy at all during the race today?
Just at the beginning.
When you laughed and said, later.
Slowpoke. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, Teddy was awesome. We got together at the beginning. He did the for everybody.
Yep.
And we went off and ran.
It was
awesome.
Good. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
And if you see one of those foil
space blankets,
I'll bring it down.
See if you can steal one. He needs one.
I do. I'm not even kidding. I'll take one out of the trash.
He wants to feel it.
We're going
to
find someone who walks in with one. I'm going to grab one for you at some point. I'm going to take it off someone. See if they can give it to you.
But that's kind of embarrassing if you walk up to somebody and say, can I have your little foil blanket?
I want to wear it so people think that I finished and ran the race, and so they all clap for me when I walk in. They're like, thank you, and they'll buy me drinks.
Walk in the lobby?
Well, borrow Jim's medal as well. Put that around. Get the foil, and then you're all set. Appreciate it, Jim. Thank you very much. Teddy's going to join us in a little bit. By the way, Brad Foe's time, 5:06:58. It is now official.
The under. I put him at 5:17.
Now,
I did.
That's a really good answer.
Are we still doing a thing where people take like 12 hours to finish the race? Like, how long would they leave the lights on for people to finish? Because some people, they take
the
finish line. Somebody's always see this story about someone who takes 12 hours to finish, 18 hours, and people are still waiting at the finish line cheering them on.
Well, they may come pouring in.
I mean, there's got to be a cap, right? They got to open the streets.
There isn't.
They got to allow the cars to go down the roads.
There isn't.
What do you mean there isn't?
There'll be people that'll be coming in here tonight.
That's my point.
11 o'clock midnight.
But they got to cap it at some point, right? And we're not going to let us.
You missed it. You know what
he was doing? Cap it. They're not going to tell the guy he can't finish. There might not be a light on for him. Sir, it's too late. You cannot finish this race. We have to stop you. No, they'll let him finish.
Go
maybe
home,
be
sir.
There.
Go home.
What's the worst time? What is the worst?
Why don't you come back later on tonight and wait for that last?
See, here's what I do. If we do it, I say our challenge would be how slow can we run it?
I'm in on that.
How slow? Bradford's problem was he actually tried. What would have been funnier if he didn't try and he just tried to be the last person to cross the finish line. Because I would like to see who's waiting for me. Like that little GPS device they have in your...
Yes, your BIP.
Okay, are they going to shut that off and then you're lost?
No, it stays with you. But there are people that come in here really, really late. You know what he was doing before you got in? He's making people fun of the people that were crawling down the finish line.
That's not true. Making
yes, you were lying.
That's a lie.
Yes, he's making fun of
the you guys were here early. Those are people that ran like yes. under 4 hours.
Yes, they were good. He's going, do you believe that guy is crawling down there? Why
that's
is he
that's
crawling?
Not true. No.
What wait, was Tyler? Funny? Tyler, was he making... Thank you,
Tyler. Don't shake yes. your head.
You make fun of people?
No.
Make, yes.
No.
Here's crawling. The poor
so there's a guy,
crawling to get across
there's a
the
guy that had, obviously cramped up. His whole body was just limp. He couldn't even walk. There were three people carrying him. Dead. Nothing but dead weight. And here's one of somebody else, like, taking pictures and filming him. And my question is, why the hell isn't this guy helping? Yet he's taking pictures and he's taking selfies. Like, oh, look at this challenge and the struggle that exists in the Boston Marathon.
That's America. That's what I was 2019. Laughing about. That's what it
so
is.
So did you hop the fence to help the guy?
No, I didn't want to get shot. There's checkpoints everywhere. I've never been to a marathon before, the first time ever.
This is the
first of all,
time
getting
ever?
In is insane.
Yeah.
Look at Tyler showing it. I mean, this is
exactly. Is that your video?
That's the guy. That's the guy that was coming by here. And he was sitting
and
there
you
going,
were making fun of that guy?
Yeah, he's lying. I didn't have to make fun of him.
That guy's jacked.
He's cramping up. His whole body cramped up.
Yeah, but that is unbelievable.
He ran too fast.
But think about this. He was able to crawl and get to the finish line. You didn't think that was...
Between that and this I would cry
between
over.
Between that and Tiger
Not
Woods.
Tiger Woods. Let me get my shot.
Jim Nance.
Jim Nance.
Cry.
I want Jim Nance to, you know, to just to do my eulogy.
By the way, if you heard Don Cherry... ripping on Boston Bruin fans.
What do you mean?
Well, I Bruin fans are getting all upset about the Kadri thing.
Well, they should get upset at the Kadri hit.
Sure they should. And, of course, so he's ripping the Leafs in this one, okay? So let's hear it.
Boston, you know, not too happy. Toronto's happy. But they have to stop, as you said, you're a referee, you know this. They have to stop whining to the – what's some whine? Like, oh, boy, what about a penalty? You got knocked down. What about a penalty? Oh, come on.
Sounds
look
like
look at that. You're hitting me. Oh, look. Come on. How about a penalty? Oh, come on. Oh, look at me. Like, you do that to the referees. They get ticked off because you make the referee look bad. The Leafs have got to stop that whining for a penalty.
So he was all upset.
Oh,
because
so the Leafs are doing that.
Well, he was all upset when originally... DeBrusque and Kadri kind of locked.
Yeah, they hit knees.
And it looked,
I don't think he stuck his knee out.
No, to me it looked like DeBrusque was coming in with the shoulder.
Sure.
He wasn't trying to come in with a lower body. And they called nothing. And so tonight, DeBrusque is going to be the bad guy in Toronto. You know that's
sure.
going to happen. They're going to boom. He's going to be the
but
bad guy.
But taking a cross check across his face.
Exactly.
But that's okay.
Right. From a guy who's done it now five
he got suspended
times.
Last year for three games
that's
in
right.
the postseason,
right.
didn't he?
Yes.
Retaliating.
And he's going to get it again. Because it is five times. He's a repeat. What are they? What is
offender?
Belichick called it.
Error repeater.
Error repeater.
Yes.
He's an error repeater. He's done it five times now, and he's going to get nailed with it. All right. 617-779-7937. That is our phone number. Again, we're here at the Lennox with Teddy's team, the New Balance people. We'll get back to the vote. Oh, we got another one.
Hey.
Oh, there's another foil blanket
face
coming
blanket.
In here.
Hey. Good job.
We get back to your phone calls coming up next.
And now on OMF.
What Teddy did, he had a great passion for it. Always working hard.
Patriots Hall of Famer and New England legend.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
Three-time Super Bowl champ. The best football analyst anywhere on the Boston airwaves.
It is intercepted by Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi has done it again.
Full tilt, full time.
Teddy Bruschi, USA, bib 5454, 4 hours, 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, nice job. Right. You got to have some pull to get that bib number. I mean, 54.
I know a couple people.
Yeah. I mean,
they hooked me up. When I found my bib number, I'm like, whoa, that was the coolest thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
That
so
awesome. What's the first question Fourier asked you? Because he apparently can't get one of these foil blankets.
It's
which
a
he
space
said,
blanket.
He said, hey, Teddy, do you have to poop out there on the course? That was the first question.
Wait, hold on. You know, hey. Stop. And wait, that's a legit question.
That's
isn't
a
that
huge
a fear?
Question. Yes, it's a huge question.
Wait,
because
poop down your leg. Hey, there's Teddy. Oh, there goes Teddy's poop.
Fellas, for the first... I mean, 3 days prior to the race, I'm like monitoring my movements. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm like, I am because, okay, that
be
was
a morning
good,
guy.
Do I have to go? Will I have to go while I'm running? I just didn't want that to happen because, I mean, that's like a, I mean, that's a big time. So look for the porta potty. You got to get in there. You don't know what's in there.
So
I mean,
is that like, what it is? So you the game plan was, okay, as soon as you get the urge, okay, find a porta potty right away. Are they all over the course?
They're not all over. They're not all over, but there are plenty of there. There are plenty for runners to use. But the goal number two, man, that's just something because that's something you can deal with maybe for a mile or so until you find the right spot because porta potties sometimes have lines at them too. And it's like there's a line here. It's like, do I wait till the next one because I can't wait that long?
But you can't do it in a porta potty either. You know that's
right.
Sure you can.
Listen, now you gotta do what you gotta.
You don't have any like bloody nipples or chafing.
I didn't, but one of my buddies that I was running with, I looked over and I'm like, bro, are you okay? And he had, you know, through the Teddy's team singlet.
Dude, take your shirt off, right?
But you don't even look. Look at you. He's right out of the studio. Your hair looks nice.
Yeah, great.
I mean, you don't think you ran a marathon.
No, this was my best run. I felt great. The weather was perfect in my opinion. I mean, there was a little bit of heat in Framingham, but there's also a breeze came when I started to get hot, and then a little bit of sprinkles, so it was perfect. And then the rain came in as we entered Boston, but no, I loved it. I feel really good. Yeah,
that's
really
great.
I used to see you running around the neighborhood.
Yeah, you give me the honk.
Yeah, give me the honk. So did you ever? So just real quickly, as far as the training goes, because I know you build up. Actually, do you build up to 26 miles? What's the most that you do during your training?
Our training runs on Saturday. We will get together, and the longest that we'll run is 21 miles. So once we hit the 21-miler, probably 3 to 4 weeks ago, and then you start tapering down. So that's the longest you'll run, is that 21 miles.
So you never sit there and mentally say, hey, okay, now at least I know I can do 26 miles.
No, really? You don't. No, like a lot of people, the long run, it's when, I mean, I think we had 1,000, 2,000 runners out there in terms of all the charity runners. They get together for that long run, and there are different distances different coaches have, but our coach, John Fury, it's always been 21 miles, the long run that I've done every single time that I've run it, so tapering down from there, and then you do have that little bit of thought that, man, can I make 26?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. After 21, you're like, I'm beat. I don't think I can give you
five. And it's like,
more.
How are my legs feeling that day after that like 21-mile run? It's like, man, I started to tighten up a little bit. I still got to grind out five more. So there is a little bit of element of doubt.
No headphones, playlists, or anything like that? Or is this straight energy from the crowd?
You're listening to the show.
Oh, no? Like, where are you?
I had a playlist going. I had the headphones that don't cover the ear. I don't cover the ear. That's just right here on the side of your face, so I could still hear all the crowd and everything, and the energy was just great. And then the last 3 miles in, I took them off.
One of the great
things. I took
them
off because I just wanted to come in and hear everything. And
we saw you running. We saw you waving to you.
You didn't wave back.
No. It's okay.
We figured you were a little distracted.
I was like, there he is. Oh, my God. He saw me.
but one of the great things that they've done over the years with the marathon, and it's what Teddy's team is doing right now, is they're raising money.
Oh, yeah,
obviously,
the charity
program. And we just met your buddy Jim, who was on your team from Pittsburgh. He lost his dad to a stroke, so he's been involved in 5 years. So the benefit that these charities get is tremendous off of what guys like you do.
It is. I mean, we're Glenn, you're right. We're so honored to be a part of the BAA official charity program. Teddy's team is an official charity, and it's something that the resources that we have from the Boston Athletic Association, they give us 45 numbers a year, and our team is just stronger and stronger every single year. We love the support from the BAA. You know, me being a stroke survivor in 2005, I actually had a moment on the course that I wanted to tell you about because it was one of the special moments that I get to experience because people recognize me and they know about Teddy's team and then the stroke awareness that I try to raise in terms of the warning signs of stroke. A woman came up to me while we're running and she says, Thank you for raising awareness for the warning signs because I learned them and then my mother was having a stroke and I got her to the hospital. And so right there on the course, that's the difference that we make. And that's something that is so – I was so grateful that she told me her mother's name was Maureen Hayes because I wanted to get her name because I told her, we're going to run the next mile for your mom. So Maureen Hayes, if you're out there, we hope you're doing better. And your daughter told us your story, and, you know, it was just so inspirational.
Are you amazed when you look at what you just accomplished, and you've done this now three times? You went back to playing football. When we look at where you were after you had that stroke, and you look at what you've been able to enjoy, in life after that and be productive in life after that. Do you look back at it sometimes and say, it's unbelievable?
Yeah, my thought process after having a stroke was I thought something was wrong with me, you know, because of the word stroke and people talk about it and you sort of take a step back, but it's like, you know, you're messed up, man, because that's only for grandparents and your grandmas and grandpas and all that stuff. But through Teddy's team, 31 years old, when I had a stroke, I've got to meet so many stroke survivors. I didn't know where I was going to be. I didn't think playing football again was possible. I didn't know being a good father and a good husband again was even possible. I couldn't see. You know, I lost the left field of vision in both my eyes, numbness down the left side of my body. I had a severe unexplained headache. These are classic stroke symptoms, and I didn't know what was happening to me. So there's a little bit of emotional and mental healing also, because it's like one day you go to sleep and the next day, boom, you're different. I can't see, I can barely walk, and now I need a hole in my heart repaired. So it was a lot of mental healing that I had to go through. And, you know, Teddy's team and the Boston Athletic Association, we're so proud to be a part of this race, because it's just vintage New England out there, man. I say the Boston Marathon is the Super Bowl of road races. You know, it's a 26.2-mile stadium out there, and the whole time everyone's just cheering you on the whole time, and it's a great experience.
It is funny because, you know, thinking back to when it all happened, I remember, I mean, it was part of it, from the beginning to end, but I remember coming into the training room. And you were, it's different when guys like blow their knees out, you know, they're doing rehab, they're doing the ladders, they're doing like hand-eye coordination, they're doing the stability ball to kind of work on their balance. And you kind of know that return is going to be, you know, a pain in the ass, but eventually they're going to be out in the field. And I remember, it's like it was yesterday, you doing some just really basic coordination drills. And I was like, damn. Yeah. I mean, it just, I mean, honestly, I was like, I mean, you said you didn't know. I was like, I mean, nobody knew.
Yeah, I had a moment.
I remember going, what the? I don't know. We'll see what happens.
And I think a lot of people, I mean, I don't know, maybe players on the team thought like, Teddy, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Bro, you had a stroke. You need to be done. You know, this is dangerous. I remember I was in the locker room, and I was getting better and better, and Don Davis was in there, a former linebacker. He used to play with us, and he would even check me and say, Teddy, you know what you're doing? Because it just wasn't, I mean, I couldn't call the guy that had done it before because there was no number.
Yeah.
You know, so, and now I've got to meet and talk to stroke survivors that are football players and that have called me. So I'm sort of that guy that I can talk to them, and similar players that have had strokes like that or holes in your heart, things like that, that you had a rehab from, and I can sort of be a reference, and I'm proud to do that.
Well, I remember even as a fan watching you guys, I was thinking the same thing, like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah. But so when you build up that strength and you're starting to realize, hey, this is a possibility that I can play football again, and you get stronger, you get faster, and you say, okay, here we go. How hard was that last hurdle of now playing the game, being in there, sticking your nose in it? Was that a hurdle you had to get over, or were you confident that once you got in the game, it was just going to be you again?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, what I say, Lou, is like you got to do a lot of firsts all over again as a survivor. Okay, the first time I got a tackle, the first time I got a sack, the first time I put on a fullback, because I took on a fullback because I remember Dean Pease was the defensive coordinator at that time. And I got to practice back, and it was like a 9-on-7 drill, and the very first play was fullback lead right at me. And whap, and he hit me. And I took on that fullback, and then literally I had a moment where I just stopped and said, all right, I'm still alive.
Yeah.
I did that. So let's check that off. So, you know, I had a goal when I came back was, you know, on a stat sheet, there's like tackles, assists, tackles, interceptions, sacks, you know, all that stuff. And I wanted to fill everything in to do everything for the first time again as a stroke survivor. And I don't know many stats of mine, but I know how many tackles I had as a stroke survivor, and it was 366.
Do you remember the first tackle you had, or the first play? You remember what the first offensive play that you were in on your first game back?
Yeah, it was Buffalo.
Yeah,
we were playing Buffalo. It was a counter. It was a counter, a power bobble, and the guard came around, and I slipped him. I slipped him and made a tackle on the running back. It might have been McGahee back then, but. Yeah, I remember that. That was my first play, man.
So out of the three of us, who do you think has the best chance to actually run and finish 26.2 miles. And don't worry, none of us think
Teddy,
you can do
Teddy,
it.
Teddy, I won't be offended.
Okay, and me neither. Actually, don't pick me.
All right, man, you my boy.
Don't pick me.
You my boy, but I'm not picking you.
No, you should not.
I'd go with Lou.
No, he's the best chance we got.
This dude weather, he's not going out there if it's raining.
No, it
could be too hot and he's not going out there.
But if you promise him, one of these foil blankets, I think you've got him for next year.
I sent him a message the other day. I was like, dude, are you really? See how cold it's going to be and how crappy the weather is going to be? Why are you doing this?
See, that is
but
true.
Just take a day
I
off.
Could see him like actually training for it and then being like mile and a half. It's too hot. Too muggy.
Me.
I'm out of here.
I'm over the pain. I don't deal with the pain, but you look fine. Like, every time I hear stories about people running this marathon and they're crippled for
cramping.
Dude, I'd love to say, man, you can do it, but I don't think you could do it.
Nope. No, I know. I said, hold on. No offense. I can't do it. I don't want to find out if I can.
Did you ever hear him bitch when he has to drive 26.2 miles to get home on a Friday night? You think he could last that?
Can't we leave earlier?
Give me a break. I want to ask you a football question, because we got you here, so I want to ask you. Have you seen Gronk in the last couple of weeks? Body looks different. Neck looks thinner. Looks like he's lost weight. And the reason I ask you this question is I see this a lot when football players are done. Training changes, strength training, everything else, lifting, bulking up. And a lot of people think he's going to come back. Do you come back if your body changes that much? And then suddenly halfway through the season he's going to come out there and come back as a football player?
Okay, I don't know how his body looks or anything like that. But
stinned out.
Is he?
Seen him.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you can either go one or two ways when you retire.
Yeah.
I mean, you can you can put it on. Yeah. You can put it on or you can take it off. But
at Damian Woody.
I'm not sure about the comeback or anything. I think that's what a lot of people think. You know, maybe around week 10 or something, he'll come back. And, he can still play, in my opinion. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe it's the whole season that's the thing. That's why, like, last year, even before the season, I was talking about maybe they need to schedule plan bye weeks for Rob in terms of three, give him a bye week, even though you don't get the bye week. And I think that he had so much success in the playoffs and was so, you know, productive, because when you make the playoffs and you get one of the top two seeds, you get a bye. You come back, you play two games, you get another bye if you win and go to the Super Bowl, and there's the rest that he needed. So I still think he's got a lot of football left in him. I wouldn't be surprised if he came back to play. I hope he does, because I love watching that guy play football, but who knows?
Yeah, so the offseason, I mean, Patriot fans have seen this before, right? We sit there and say, oh, my God, Gronk is gone. Didn't make a trade yet for a wide receiver. Maybe missed on a couple wide receivers. And we talk about, we know they're going to be successful. We know they're going to win a division, go to the postseason. But it just seems like every year, they try to almost make it harder and harder on themselves for Josh and Tom Brady to kind of make this offense move.
September, you never know what it's going to be. And that's why, you know, we talked about it last year about September being an extension of the preseason. They're still figuring themselves out. They got a lot to figure out now.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of the changes, because you can draft for roles. You know, that, you know, third down running back, you know, situational pass rusher, slot receiver, things like that. As you think you find the role. I mean, that role of Rob Gronkowski.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't happen. Those guys don't grow on trees, you know. And that's why, I mean, I remember being in the office. Speaking of the retirement thing, when I was retiring, Bill actually asked me. He said, well, you know, later in the season, man, if we need you, could we call you? And I said, no. I said, no, I don't want you to call me, because, no, I'm done. This is it for me. And then I'm moving on. I mean, who knows if he had that conversation with Rob.
Yeah.
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 We're going to
go again.
Ordway is his daughter.
Oh, his daughter. His daughter. All right. You'll get it, right, man.
So we're
congrats,
clap it up.
Man.
Hey,
all right.
Blanket.
All right.
Glenn, see if she can get a blanket.
Yes, get that medal.
Get a blanket.
Yes.
Get her a blanket. Yes, just take it from her. She doesn't need it.
go get it, Glenn.
Last question, then we're going to break and we get off. So, obviously, a lot going on. A lot going on in the offseason. Hi. Oh, we're on the air. Hello.
Let's game up.
A lot going on in the offseason, obviously, with the Patriots and the Krafts. Just real quick, you know, Kraft was at the Celtics game the other night, got a big applause, everybody supporting them. Have you guys talked? Have you guys reached out to each other? Can you fill us in on anything like that?
Mr. Kraft has my support, you know, and yes, I talked to Mr. Kraft, and I've expressed to him how, You know, he's been such a support to my family. I mean, I went through my career with the Patriots. I just feel it was different from what I went through and playing there my entire career, going through my comeback after suffering a stroke, things like that. Mr. Kraft's like a family member to me. So anything that happens with this, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but he has my support, and I love the guy.
See, that's got to be one of the tough parts about it, as we found out, too, when it broke on a Friday. You're over there at ESPN, and they're sitting there saying, hey, the news came out with what happened to Robert.
Right.
Let's bring Teddy in. And you're sitting there going, why don't you call somebody else, right, yeah, to talk about this? But that can't be easy.
It's a difficult topic to talk about. Like I said then, it's just a confusing time. I mean, I know that you know, it's a situation, fellas. I mean, I just once again, Mr. Kraft has my support, and that's all I can say.
All right, and you have ours.
Appreciate it. And you guys have been great with Teddy's team and the support that you guys have given me for the last year. When, you know, every week we were talking football, you let me talk about Teddy's team.
Sure.
I really appreciate it. And you guys being here, I really appreciate WEEI.
You guys have 49 runners with you this year? Do you add runners every year,
runners,
or is it the same number, sort of, depending on how many badges you give?
Give or take a few. But this is the most that we've had in terms of, you know, participation. And, you know, like we had a couple qualifiers. Usually we have 45, but it was 49, and we just keep getting stronger and stronger, and it's something to where, you know, this race is something. It's 14 years we've been a part of it, so we have strong participation. We started small, and we've continued to grow, and I like the growth, you know, that's slow growth, mm-hmm, because I get to meet my runners, I get to know their stories, and we have a lot of stroke survivors, heart survivors. It's a special thing for me.
Well, one thing good to know, that Christian does not want to run for you. He'll
you get no number.
Team,
I am not giving you a number.
He will not run for you.
I'll do something else. Give me something else to do.
There's a 5K on a Saturday, I think.
Can I bike?
Can
we do a bike? I'll do a bike ride.
Hand out the blankets. Yeah, that's good.
I'll do the blanket hanger.
Perfect.
Outer guy.
You can
perfect.
Do that,
hander outer guy.
All right. You guys are great.
Well, Teddy, thanks a lot, man. Good seeing you. Great seeing you again. Congrats.
Yeah, I hope Glenn's daughter's coming through.
I think she's coming through right now.
I've never seen Glenn move so fast.
We'll get an update from Glenn Ordway's daughter over there. Teddy Bruschi, he joins us. We'll get more from OMF right after this.